Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's go into the word. Let's go in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy. With clarity, with precision, there is no confusion, there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. And we declare and decree that at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Let's go all the way to Luke 10. Luke 10:38. Or look at Mark. Let's start in Mark today. Mark 10. Mark 10:27. Mark 10:27. Are you in Mark 10:27? Look at what it says. And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but with God, for with God all things are possible. Now then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and what? Follow thee. We have left all and follow thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sister or father, mother, wife, children, or lands for my sake and the gospel. But he shall receive what? He shall receive what? 100-fold, 100 times in this time. House, what? Brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands, persecutions, with persecutions, and in the world to come, what? Eternal life. So what is Jesus teaching here? We said that Peter came to Jesus and said, what? We have left all to what? Follow. Now, left all to follow does not mean they abandon things. Are we together? Left all to follow does not mean they abandon things. You see, in our world, it's very easy to not create a balance. I always get that. I'm always very careful when I use the word balance. Yeah, but for a very large extent, I'm one who is privileged to have met people in their hundreds and thousands, actually, right? I know people personally on a very large scale. I know so many people, and I know so many Christians as well. One of the things I've realized over time is that it's always difficult to see someone create a balance between their spiritual life and their what? Physical life. So I end up seeing a lot of people focusing more on their what? Physical, right? And we have quite a number. You know that the number of people focusing on spiritual life alone, on the other, so there are two extremes, right? There's the extreme of focusing on your physical life, and there's the extreme of focusing on what? Spiritual life, right? But we have more people in this camp. Yeah. You agree, right?
Yes, sir.
We have more people in this camp,
yeah,
right? What camp is this?
Physical.
Okay? Yeah? So we have more people here. We have less people here. So you see some people, they focus solely on their physical lives. I'll see some people as well, they focus solely on their spiritual lives. Are we together? Right? And I've come in contact with lots of ladies, for instance, in our world. And the kind of, in quote, guys they are looking for are the people in the balance or in the middle. Right? Even though some of them have a perspective and wish that you are more to this place. What's happening here? Okay, yeah. So they wish you are more to the physical. What do I mean? Right? You know it's very interesting. You know, you see, over the years I've heard lots of people who want to marry pastors. And nowadays it looks as if nobody wants to marry a pastor again. Even pastor doesn't want to marry you. Are we together? Pastor doesn't want to marry you. Right? Yeah. You see, if you find out what she is going through, then you know that the office of a pastor and being the next person to the pastor based on relationship is a heavy task. Are we together? Right? I realize that a lot of people want a pastor in quotes, but they like the idea of a showbiz person. Like I usually say, you know, somebody says, I just want someone who has a feel of the world and a little feel of Christianity, yeah, so that there's a neutral balance altogether, right? And one of the things that you end up finding out when you speak more to them is that they're actually looking for, you know the man called Chris Brown? You know Chris Brown? Who's that? Okay. Yeah, Chris Brown is a man that, you know, he sang, Great Is Thy Faithfulness. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you don't know him. You don't know the song. So Chris Brown sang Great Is Thy Faithfulness then to God. Is that glory?
Oh, wow.
You don't know him. Okay, beautiful. Okay. But you know Pastor Dr. Creflo Dollar?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, you know him. Ah, I see. So you are men of the word.
Yes.
Beautiful, that's good. You see, some people want a Creflo Dollar with a little sprinkle of Chris Brown. CC. Creflo Chris. But you know what I found out recently? What they're actually looking for is a Chris Brown that has a sense and touch. You know how when somebody dresses in white and puts pocket square? Red. You understand? If you see someone from afar wearing white and put pocket square red, for instance, my brother there wearing white all through, and he puts, can you see the black?
Yeah.
That little touch of black. That's what we're looking for. We want Chris Brown. I'm not saying he is Chris Brown. I'm just saying we want someone like that. But you know, once in a while, he just gives praise to God. Lord, I just give you all the praise and all the glory, for there is none like you. Someone that wants to go to church once in a month. Someone that wants to go to church during Christmas time. You know, one of the things we fail to understand is that once you start your relationship on that pedestal, it is very difficult to push it higher. You're dating someone, for instance, for 3 years, for 4 years, for 5 years, some 10 years. Right? And in 10 years of dating, you see that this person is not committed to Jesus, and you are committed to Jesus. Very soon, you will be like that person. That's how influence happens. Now, what I'm saying is, when Peter said this to Jesus, we have left all to follow, what he was not saying was that they've abandoned. So, you now see people having a lack of sense of responsibility. Right? You abandon your wife, for instance, as a man. You abandon your husband, for instance, as a woman. You abandon your child, for instance, as a man or a woman. Right? You abandon your work. Are we together? Right? You abandon your work. Right? You know, but the truth is, there needs to be a balance. But the reason why I said I'm careful with the word balance is that your attention as well should not be equal for both ends. So you see, eventually it will not be a balance. Do you get what I'm trying to say? In your mind, you're trying to create a balance. But in the real sense, remember last week's teaching, we said there is one thing and what? Many things. There is one thing and there are what? Many things. And you need to focus on, remember in the series, what was the series we did before this series? Engaging the streets. Remember one of the consistent things I said in that series was, if you do everything perfectly well and miss out on that one thing, is as good as what? You've not done well. Remember that phrase I use consistently, right? When we say something like, you can be a successful career man. Yes, you started your career last week. Today, you're already a CEO, right? Your wife, your children are already going to the best of schools and everything. Beautiful, that's lovely, right? But when it comes to that which matters, the instruction Jesus gives, we are now laid back regarding that. And I usually give an example of 70/100. Remember that teaching? Yeah. When your lecturer asks you to answer 5 questions, and out of the 5 questions, number one is compulsory. Then out of the 4, you're supposed to choose 3, and you knew all the 4. If you have to answer four out of five, and you answered all the 4 that is not compulsory, what do you have?
30.
It's 30, it's not 40. Do you understand? No lecturer will give you a 1+ for attempt. No. It is 30/100. And you missed out in the one that carries what? 70 marks. Altogether. You see, so you must understand that there is an approach. You must understand that there is something that matters. There's something that matters. You see, it's very easy to just assume. And one of the things I found out in our world is that it's easy for us to make excuses. Excuse is one of the easiest things to do. One of the easiest things to do. An excuse. You know, but whatever, anything you give an excuse for, to a very large extent, you never wanted to do it initially. Whatever you give an excuse for, let me ask you a question. You see, if, for instance, someone invited you for a birthday party, right? And eventually you just say it was the party time, you say you're not coming again. Do you know, to a very large extent, there might have been something somewhere. But what I'm trying to say is that, okay, flip the switch. You know what I call flip the switch? Flip the switch. Who here can turn down an embassy interview? You can turn down an embassy interview. So I should put context. I'm not going to shame those that don't have country relevance. You don't know what you are saying. Depends on the country. Okay. Don't worry. You won't push me when I'm where I am. Yeah. You get the point. You get the point.
Yes, we do.
It's me too.
Yes.
Don't be saying it depends on the country. I'll be thinking. I'm not asking for any country. I'm asking for that country that came to your mind. You see that country that came to your mind, that particular one, that's where I am. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Right? That country that came to your mind, that's where I am. Right? So it's a country you want to visit. And all of a sudden you've paid £1,000, £2,000 to go for the interview. I remember there was a guy, actually he was going for an interview, and somebody hit him, his car. He didn't stop. He didn't stop. Yes, I didn't stop.
Depends on the car.
You know, some people will say that they are chasing me for my place. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
On my day of glory. No, this is what I'm saying. On your day of glory, to go and collect visa. Somebody hits you on the car. You didn't. I found our sister that somebody hit here recently, a couple of while ago. And the person, when the thing that happened, the person was supposed to collect the phone number of the person so that they can do insurance. You know that heart of yours? Just go. My father owns everything. He took me 3 weeks after I realized my father wants me to pay for my pocket. Right? Yeah? But he actually went to his visa interview. But do you know that you rarely see somebody who will keep going to church? Are you following me?
Yes,
you rarely see somebody who, you are coming to church, they hit you, and you stop. I'm not saying it's an accident that your car cannot move. Some of you, when the thing just happens, you are going for visa interview, you just first raise it, vroom, vroom, vroom. Just say that everything is okay. You just keep going. But this church, someone even almost, you know, there's something called kiss. There's a peck. They do it in a place called Lagos. They just peck you. And what I mean, they use their bumper. They just use their bumper. I was in the car somewhere in Lagos actually a couple years ago. And a driver behind us, like, he just, I don't know how to time it. He just used his car and touched our car and started smiling. You know what he said? I said, I did not hit you now. But what am I saying to you? Can you see how what you want to do, you will do it? What you want to do, you will do it. If, for instance, you travel to another country, right, and it's a country that you dreamed of living and you dreamed of seeing your life and your family there, and the country calls you that morning and they say, we just looked at your record and we thought that we wanted you to become a citizen. Right? And they called you at 8:50 before your office time. Do you know what I'm trying to say? They called you at 8:50, Rock was resumed at 9. And they said they want you to be on Prince Street by 9:35 a.m., nothing more. Please, where will you go to?
Prince Street.
Prince Street, right? Even if your office is not there. So you see that there is something that can push you to go the extra mile. But you would just rather give an excuse for the things of God. You would just rather give an excuse for the things of God. It's very easy. I know the funny thing, because when it comes to the things of God, there's nothing you are really losing in quotes. Right? Nobody can say they're not going to pay you salary for not coming to church now. Is that not true? Alright? Nobody can flog you for not coming to church now. Is that not true? You know, in school, they flogged people for not coming to school. Okay. No. I don't forget about where the country the school is. Right? They flog people for coming late. Do you understand how when we're younger, there's some schools that I knew of, right, that parents rush to go and drop their kids. Else, they would your name, you become the talk of school as somebody who is not responsible in dropping your child. just have a question. Why is it that people get themselves so involved and interested in every other thing with the whole of their heart? You know the funny thing? When it comes to work, you don't need to say, I give myself away. When it comes to embassy, you don't need to sing, you are mine, I am yours. When it comes to God, we sing it. And the one we sing for, we give excuse most. Peter will say, what? I have left all and followed. Mind you, they were not jobless. These are men who were involved in fishing, for instance. Jesus was a man who was involved in carpentry. I hope you know that while Jesus' father was a carpenter, he himself as well was a carpenter. Right? So there's a narrative of, behold Jesus, the son of a carpenter, and behold Jesus who was a carpenter. Right? There were men like Luke who were physicians. If you read through the book of John, go to John quickly. Go to John. Go to John 17. Oh, sorry. John. John 21, sorry. John 21, verse 21, verse 20, 20, verse 2. John 21, verse 1. Are you there? John 21, 1. After this thing, Jesus showed himself again to disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. They were together Simon Peter, Thomas called who? Thomas called who? Didymus, Didymus. Nathanael of who? Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Please, how many people are mentioned here? One, Simon Peter. Two, who? Thomas. Three, Nathanael. Four, sons of Zebedee. How many sons of Zebedee were there?
Two.
Two, right? So that's five. Is that true? And two others. That's how many?
Seven.
Seven of them. So is this seven out of 12?
Yeah.
Are they, were these among the 12 disciples? Yeah, 7 out of 12 now.
Yeah.
Right? So 7 out of 12 disciples, what did they say in verse 3? Simon Peter said unto them, I go what? I go fishing. And they said unto him, we also go with thee.
Yeah.
Then they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Hold on. So were they men of profession?
Yeah.
When Jesus met them, did they have a profession?
Yes.
This is John 21. Right? This is after Jesus resurrected. Did they continue their profession? They continued their profession. But this is somebody who said we've left all. So it means their definition of the left all does not mean they abandoned. So you are seeing 7 of them going to fish. Are we together? Right? And the fishing they were doing was a means of commerce. And they said, what? We are going a fishing. Simon said, we are going a fishing. All of them said, we are going with you. That's an average of how many people? 6 or 7 of them. Are you following what I'm saying today? So you see that to say that they left not. So see what happened in verse. But did they catch anything? They caught nothing. Look at verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto him, children, have ye any meat? You know, scholars agree or argue that the reason why he uses that word children is because they were very young. Altogether. You see, history shows that majority of disciples of Jesus, among the 12, they were teenagers. Are you here?
Yes.
They were teenagers. You know what it means, teenagers? Teenagers did not change them. That means if you look at their age range, they were between 13 and they were what? 19. Is that the end? And they were the ones that Jesus picked as his disciples. The 12 that turned the world around were caught in their teenage years. In our teenage years today, what do we want to do? Imagine a managed teenage church. You are showing Superman. You know, we just want them to relax their nerves. Their nerves. You know, I want you to just finish. Just share biscuit. So what do you learn today? They were breathing, breathing out, breathing, breathing out. Do you know that there is such a thing called training a child the way he should go from the beginning? It's one of the things I realized in recent times, in recent days, that a lot of times it is easy for us, very easy for us, to allow our children grow the way they think they want to grow. It is very easy for us. Sometimes we do it subconsciously. Subconsciously. Are we together? Subconsciously. So, in life, generally, we must understand that, you see, there are things that matter. And we need to start showing our children from their young age. Jesus will say to them, well, children, well, and the reason, like I said, history will show that because they were young people. In fact, history shows that the only person who wasn't a teenager at the time was who? The man Peter. Was already married. Because there was a time he took Jesus to his mother-in-law. If Jesus had, who said we've left all to follow? Peter. How do you know his mother-in-law was sick? That means he didn't abandon his mother-in-law. Remember now, who took Jesus to go and pray for his mother-in-law?
Peter.
How did he know? He knew. I hope you know, there was no WhatsApp group then. You know, now what? Because mommy is down, though. You know, you can say mommy is down. You know, someone can send a message to you right now and say, daddy is down, though. And the moment you say, pastor, your face countenance changes. Pastor, you now say, pastor, this message I got to. And pastor, let's go. So for Peter to have known, it means that we need to actually understand that he did abandon family. So it means that following Jesus does not lead or mean abandon. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Following Jesus does not mean abandon family. Look at Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 10, and all of that. I'll pay attention to that over the last few weeks. Right? Now, we looked at, now on Wednesday and 2 Wednesdays ago, I showed you something in Acts chapter 1. Do you remember Acts chapter 1 where they were supposed to pick someone to replace Judas?
Yes, sir.
What Judas did, was he right?
No.
What did Judas do? Judas what?
He betrayed.
What he did, was he right?
No.
Okay. The scriptures speak about it before he did it.
Yes.
Yes. The scripture mentioned Judas's name.
No.
So it means there was a narrative that was spoken about ahead of time. And Judas fit himself in that narrative. Are you with me? Now, when Judas hung himself, I explained that on Wednesday. Remember that? When he said that they used the price of the money that he gave Judas to buy a land. That was said is a figure of speech. Because Judas hung himself. Are we? So they took that money that they were supposed to give to him and they used to buy a land that they called it Asirama. Right? Land of what?
Blood of blood.
Yeah, that's correct. Are we together? Right? And what did they say? They said, well, we want to pick people who will replace Judas. How many people did the scripture instruct to replace Judas?
One.
Because the Bible says, let his bishopric be given to another. So it means that even though there were 1,000 people that were committed, the position required only one person to fill. Are we here?
Yeah.
Right? And what happened? The Bible says, well, they came together and asked them, and they said, well, from this day, let this day examine those who have been around in the local church from the day Jesus was what? Baptized. Is that not true? And they picked how many people? Two. How many people were they looking for?
One.
How many people were equally in court committed? Two. How many people did they need to replace Judas?
One.
What did they say? They said, these two brothers have been following Jesus from the baptism of Jesus to his death. Now his resurrection, they are still here. Are we together?
Yes.
Was Jesus speaking to his disciples when he said, let the dead bury the dead?
Yeah.
He was speaking to who?
He was speaking.
Who was he speaking to? His disciples now.
Yes,
yeah, he was speaking to his disciples and speaking to his disciples. And they said, let the dead, because one of them came with an excuse and said, well, pastor, my father just died, I need to go bury him. You know, I told you, if Jesus says that to a lot of us today, that claim we are following Jesus, we will change Pastor Jesus' church. You know, I heard somebody trying to explain that if the word there, the Greek word there, that the Greek word that Jesus used there. Now, I'm trying to say, a short summary of the things Jesus did were compressed. Jesus would look at the people and say, oh, adulterous generation. We're going to look at that today. You will find out that the reason he said those things was not from a place of emotion, so to say, but from a place of zeal. Remember now, Jesus went to the temple. And what did he say? The Bible says he turned, right? The tables. Okay? Let's leave that narrative another day. So he turned the table and he said, my father's house has become a what? A den of thieves. You know what it means to tell a Jewish man that you make this place a den of thieves? Now, he wasn't saying they were stealing. No. He only said that they've replaced the purpose of the temple with something else. Altogether, when John records that in John chapter 4, he says, they remember that when the scripture says, the zeal of my father's house has consumed me. So Jesus correcting what was wrong in a local church was from a place of what? Zeal. So when Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead, from a place of what? Zeal. Altogether. Today, if Pastor Jesus says, what do you mean? He says, he who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is not fit. What do you think he was saying? That's not a figure of speech. Now, what I'm saying is, imagine the things that were not recorded that Jesus said. Imagine the other things that Jesus recorded, the things that Jesus said that were not recorded. So you will find out that to a very large extent, when we say that we give ourselves to God, it requires an intentionality. Let me show you something. Go all the way with me. Go to 1 Peter 2. Let's push on. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Are you there? 1 Peter 2, 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. So the Christ suffer. Okay? So the Christ suffer. So Christ went through suffering. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Is Christ God in the flesh? Okay? So it means that no matter who you are, as long as you are in interaction with men, you have there's a probability that you would have to what? Suffer. How many of you grew up listening to this song? Me, I will not suffer. I will not bend for God of miracles. See, right? We understand what you are saying. That song is about material provision. But how do you explain 1 Peter 2? Jesus suffered and blessed your heart, you didn't stop there. Look at the next statement. What does it say? Living for us an example. Okay? Do you know there are examples that you don't follow? So it's one thing for someone to give an example for you. It's another thing for you to follow the example. But why were the examples left? Look at what the Bible says there. It says, living us an example that we, when it says ye, include yourself there. No, you know, Peter was talking to a people. Look, you know, Pastor, look at the context. Pastor, there was an immediate culture ahead. Yeah? So he says that ye should follow his what? His steps. Who did not see neither was God found in his mouth? Who, when he was revived not again? When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth what? Righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto what? Righteousness. So Jesus left for us an example. That means those examples Jesus left were deliberately done so that we can see an example to follow. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy chapter 5, verse 10. Look at 1 Timothy 3 and 5, verse 9. It says, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old. What's 80? 60. Is that correct? Is that correct? What is 80? 2? 3? Okay. So, what is 80 years there? 60 years old. Okay. So, when it says, let the widow be taken into the number, well, what is it saying? It's saying, don't count a widow or don't count someone who lost their husband as a widow if she's below 60. Is that what he's saying? Is that what he's saying? Ah, look at it in your Bible now. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 3 years old or 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. Well reported. So it means that it says, let not the widow be taken into the number, right? I don't want to withdraw this. So it says, well reported of for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, and if she has relieved the afflicted, and if she has what? Been diligently followed, and she has diligently followed every what? Good work. Look at verse 11. But the younger widow refused. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will what? Marry. So what is the context of younger widow there?
Below 60
now. Are you following? Yeah? Below 60. Well, that's not my question. Go to verse 24.
Yeah.
Look at that word there, follow. So the reason I chapter 2 verse 10 is look at the word there, follow, right? It says, if she has diligently followed every good work. Look at verse 24. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men, they follow after. That means the word there, follow, is the word that means to rigorously pattern after. Right? To rigorously pattern after. That is, to see an example, to model oneself after. So if Jesus sets an example for us to follow, what are we to do? We are to rigorously model after that pattern. Altogether, we are to rigorously model after that matter, or that pattern. Altogether. So is there such a thing called the new nature that the believer has received when he becomes born again? Yes. But is there such a thing called walking in your new nature?
Yes.
Because a believer can be a new man and not act like a new man. I hope you know that. That you're a new man in Christ does not automatically mean that your conduct becomes that of a new man. You have to walk it out. You have to show proofs. You know, the saying that says show walking. Altogether. Now, let me quickly take you somewhere to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to ponder on that today. Philippians chapter 2. And I want you to actually be very attentive to the things that we will say today. Philippians chapter 2. Let me give a quick history of the book of Philippians, right? You know the Philippians, so you know popular scripture, my God shall supply your needs. Philippians 4:19. Is that not true? I can do all things through Christ. Philippians 4:13. Right? Yeah. So Philippians is one of the books that a lot of us, do you remember the story of the churches of Macedonia?
No.
Chief among them is who? Acts. Philippians now. Hello, dear saints. When Paul says that the churches of Macedonia were in deep poverty, yeah, are you following? The Bible shows that the chief city amongst the churches was the Philippians, where the Philippians now. That's the book of Acts. I don't want to go there. Right? So Philippians, were they in deep poverty?
Yeah.
You know, one of the things, again, that we miss out on about the Philippians at this point, when they said that was written, was they were going through hard persecution. You know, it's easy. You know, some of us say, it's interesting. What we call persecution is not worthy to be called Percy or Pers. It's not worthy to be called Percy. Do you know what these men went through? I hope you know that history shows that 90, even more than that, percent of the disciples of Jesus, the first 12, they didn't die in natural cause death. You see, that is what men went through for the gospel to get to your hands today. Have you ever thought about what would have happened if Stephen was not preaching when he was being stoned? You, they are not stoning you. Don't go to church. They are not stoning you. They are not preaching gospel. Can you imagine what would have happened if Stephen... You know, God is a beautiful God. God would have found another way to walk around it. But you know what happens if men who are given certain instructions to do certain things, they keep turning down God's offer? Are we together? You know the man called John who wrote the book of Revelation, what he called the book of Revelation, right? Yeah. Do you know that he was put into a boiling oil? Are we together? You see my hand? This car is oil. Last week or thereabouts, air fryer. The pain I went through. I was looking for medication, Ori, aloe vera oil, and my handle. They put somebody because of the case of the gospel inside boiling oil. You are here saying, she has suffered for me. Don't you understand that it is the fact that Jesus suffered and left an example for them that kept them going? Do you understand?
Yes,
sir. The weather just changes a little. You say, we'll just join online, Pastor. You know, this we'll just join online. Online is for us this morning. They put somebody into a boiling oil. And when they finished, they went to go and throw him on an island. I thought when they finished putting inside oil, they should carry you to hospital. And let them show they have a set. So it means that the reason they took him to that island was let him die natural death after inflicting painful death. Do you know how many disciples were beheaded? Some of you, they put you beside knife that is sharp. Do you know Jesus? No. I don't know him more. And what you use to justify yourself is that after all, we are saved eternally. Is that not true? We are saved eternally. Nothing can separate me from his love. I'm forever in you. Save me by denying Jesus. You know, Pastor taught us that he is the one that is cleaving. He says, nothing can pluck us away from his hands. So for this moment, I just say, I don't know Jesus. They wanted to hang the man on the cross. What was that? Peter. What did he say? He said, don't hang me the way you hung my master. Turn me upside down. See, when I say these things, it makes me want to cry. When I start seeing the petty excuses we give ourselves in our world. What did Peter hear? What did he know? Where was his heart? He says, no, you can't kill me the way you killed my master. Turn me upside down. Stephen was preaching authoritatively. People picked stone around him. He could have said, no, calm down. Let's be calming down. They sent me, but I'm still useful on the earth. Let's take things easy. What do you want? You say I should not say that Jesus is Lord. And that's all. Jesus is not Lord. Jesus is not Lord. Is that not all? He now start going home. He start looking back. To show they are not stoning him. The Bible says, no, while they were stoning him, he stayed there and remained consistent. He was preaching the gospel. He was committed preaching the gospel. The pastor will come here and shout, go and preach the gospel. Go and minister to the sick. Go out and preach the sick. Yes, we've heard him. Your pastor cannot relate to what we are going through. You know, sometimes I have it on my notebook, on my calendar. There are days of the month when I go back to go and read the exploits that men of old did. And it's not just enough for us to just be saying men of old. Those are as well people who have followed the example in Christ that we should follow after. Let me show you something. So the Philippians were going through serious persecution. I'm talking about proper persecution. I'm not talking about there's COVID and everybody should stay in their house. Not more than 12 people should gather. At least they even allow some to gather now. I'm talking of things that were life-threatening. There are men who are meeting today in caves. There are countries today where people are serving Jesus and they don't go with their Bible. Because when they see you with the Bible, what happened? You're gone. Some of them, you see them, they will wrap their Bible. Some of them, you see them, that they now, they cram the Bible by heart. You are going to church, you've crammed the Bible by heart. And you go for the meeting, pastor says, we're going to teach you about Philippians 3, and you know it. But I'm talking about people who are in countries where the government has said no Jesus should be mentioned in this country. And what will they do? They will send spies that will act like new converts that will come to the church. And what happens? They'll go and report to the government the location of church, and they will come there and scatter all of you. I told them the story of a man who eventually they realized that there was a spy that was reporting them. Men who were well trained. Pastor just said, well, our next meeting, the Holy Spirit is going to tell you all by the Spirit. Cheers. They went, all of them met in the new meeting center, except one. That's a spy. I see how men are. Today, you know that if you come here by 9 o'clock, they will open this place for you. You will hear God's word. I said, men are going. Do you know people who are leaving their comfort zone? There's a man called Paelty. He was from the UK. And he left his home to Africa to go and preach the gospel. A man called John Gillick from the USA, he went to South Africa to go and preach the gospel with all his family. They sold their all, they left their all for the sake of the gospel. You are still living 10 minutes from here. You are living 20 minutes from here. You are coming late. And the funny thing is, you now have shoulder. You are now proud of it. You are living 5 minutes from here. You are saying that my headache is just... See, may we not see persecution. I don't expect you to say amen. Because it says, those that suffer, we have to follow after his suffering. But we put in my heart of hearts. You see, let it not be life that will push you. That's just sometimes, you see, creating a balance is, remember the illustration of balance. Right? Some of us will pray, Lord, I need this job. If I, you know, some of us grew up knowing how to give God things ahead of time. God, if you give me, I heard the recent one now recently, some of you would have heard, if you give me a husband, right? If you give me a husband, I'll give him back to you. You see, it's all heard it now. If you give me a husband, I will give him back to you. Lord, this job, my first salary unto you. And God, will light that light, God, between me and you. I create the covenant today. They will draw light, they walk around it. One for the Father, one for the Son. My first salary is for you, Lord. I don't think that's enough for my God. God, if men are giving 10%, I want to ask pastor, who's the highest giver? I'll multiply by 2. Or just to be safe, let's just give God 50%. After all, I could have lived a life before 50%. Is when the first salary enter, and I say, 1, 2, 3 zeros. Multiply by. If I buy 2 people between Uber and delivery, God, let me first use this money for initial capital so that I will get more money to give you. You are deceiving yourself. You that before they say we have a special meeting, you have come 1 hour before, you've arranged everywhere. Now you have job. Pastor, we still be talking, explaining this right now. Let me just walk in by 10:41. Yeah, I heard of an example. I don't know who I heard the example from. There's a brother who was consistent, all of a sudden he stopped coming to church early because he got a job. Pastor just realized he now started coming early again. He now asked him, have they sacked you? He now found out they've actually sacked him. Doesn't make any sense. You stop being committed to Jesus because of a job that your mind, your head did not tell you can lose that job. You do not see an example of someone is sacked. You know, nobody has eternal. I hope you know. I'm not among those persons that promise you eternal job, eternal security of job, but I don't do it though. Your job is not eternal. It takes one economical meltdown and half of a country's population will be on, will be what? What do they call it? Unemployed. Just one. The pastor asked him, have they sacked you? And now found out they sacked him. Why? Because he now started coming in. You know, we don't, you know, I don't think I know any of you who, for instance, walks on a Sunday before they come. In fact, there's a brother that does that once in a while, closes at 7 and comes to church. I don't think I know most of you who will have to walk on Sunday before you come to church. Yet you still come late. Yet you say, you know, Pastor, you know, when you deal with other people, you have to be careful. You know, you have to be a people's person. Right? You know, am I not, you know, another woman might feel like the way you feel, so you have to take them patiently. I want to use my wife as an example. My wife 2 years ago, 3 years ago, did I tell you? My wife 2-3 years ago, I just realized that Monday morning, she jumped up from the bed before I say, she has gone. She just come and kiss me. Baby, I'm going, bye. Monday to Friday, consistently. Sunday, alarm will go up. 10 minutes on the bed more. I said, we cannot do like that though. We're not in this one that way. Today she got to the car before me. You know, there's a way you will encourage your family, model your family, and also lead your family. That you know there's some things that are not. I cannot give birth to a child that will not see church as a major deal in their lives. And how? Some of you get pregnant. Once you are 2 months, you are 3 months. Pastor, I can't come to church again. Pastor, I know it's not like. I know some of you will look at me and say, Pastor, the way you used to talk, you don't know people are different. The people start giving birth today. I'm going hard on you all today, right? Are you the first to get pregnant? You close church from 3 months, 4 months. You have 5 months to go, and you're still going to office. So it should be a shame on you now. You know, that even if doctor says, stay in the house because of your health. But you go to work Monday to Friday. But the Sunday is your rest day. You should be ashamed of yourself now. You give birth 6 months after, you're still at home. You're still trying to see if the baby is strong. Three guys too. Look at Philippians 2:5. So look at what it says in, like I said, the book mentions joy and regret. I didn't say this earlier on, dealing with the church in persecution, but the book mentions a lot of joy and rejoicing. Are we together? It goes to Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say rejoice. You know, he speaks about rejoicing, speaks about joy in chapter 4, verse 1. Be careful for nothing, give thanks to God, and all of those things. Now, go all the way to. Okay, so I said Philippians 2:5, right? Before you get to Philippians 2, verse 5, go all the way to Philippians chapter 1. You know, I always tell you something. Whatever you give an excuse for today in this world, there are people who are in tighter situations than you are. And they are committed to Jesus. That's why it's always good for you to have friends. And among your friends, ensure that you're not the one that is the most serious. What I mean is, don't let all your friends be you. You are the one that is leading all your friends. It is problematic. Okay. I can tell you, it can be overwhelming. It can be. It can be. Are we together? You know, so you need to ensure that you have people who can spur you, who can push you. I have friends like that. I have friends like that when I think I'm doing a lot and I'm going over and above and beyond, what they call over and beyond. All of us want to go over and beyond in office. And you say, you don't love mammon. But they give you a report card in your office over and beyond. 6/5. 7/5. When he comes to church, you know, this God, I will serve him on my terms. Let me tell you, you can't serve God at your terms. You can't. God went to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Let's have a quick read quickly. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together. So is Paul talking to a church? Are we here? Is Paul talking to a church? What did he say? He says, striving together in one what? With one mind. Is that right? Striving together for the faith of the gospel. What does that mean? You know, we can be a people of one mind in this local church. I always ask you a question. If people behave the way you behave, would there be God's palace today? Just ask yourself that question. Some of us, all we have ended up doing with a lot of our lifetime is just to be judging church. Ah, this church, they don't care as much. This church, they don't give us the word like that. This church, they don't give us this thing like that. But what about you? What about you? What about you? Are we here? Are we here? This is God's word, though. You know, like I was saying when I did the local church series, I said, if you find a perfect church, remember that statement? The moment you join it, you that are looking like this, look at me too. The moment we join it, you have made it imperfect. How will pastor be talking to us like this? He say, are you the one that's telling my body is paining me? Is it your pain? How can I be saying, you don't even understand all these things I've done? Pastor, you're not even empathetic. As I say, I have it, you're telling my headache. See, I was working in a place in Nigeria, right? What they were paying us, I was doing my NYC, what they were paying us is the whole nation knew. You know what I'm saying? The whole nation knew. The whole nation knew what they were paying us. Because we were either one or two. You cannot call three companies that were paying their youth copper people that like the way they were paying us then. They use us. Listen to what I'm telling you. They use us. They use us. Let me tell you how they got us. They came to NYC camp, spoke to the national chairman, and asked the national chairman to give all the people that finished with the first class. Some of you that don't know I finished with the first class. I did finish with the first class. Okay? So I finished with the first class. Well, they called for first class students. Over 100 of us wrote an exam. They brought it down to probably 30. I was among the 30. They did an interview and whatever they did, they brought it down to 15 people. I was among the 15. See, I finished the first class in school, and there's no human being that let me upward, the school I went to, that can say I missed a Sunday service for 5 years. I was never a leader. Are you with me? When I tell you this, I'm trying to tell you this. I'm a practical person. I don't know how to use, I can tell you the Greek word. I'm a practical person. Not once I missed one service. Even days when I did not feel right. I was not the best pianist in school, but I was the most consistent pianist. Don't ask anybody. I'll play for church on Tuesday, play for church on Wednesday, do rehearsal on Thursday, praise team Thursday. You were there, right? Praise team Thursday, we'll do another rehearsal on Friday, Saturday rehearsal, Friday. Church is 10. So I'm doing things for the school. Tuesday, church. Wednesday, prayer meeting, church. I play the keyboard. Thursday, rehearsal. Friday, rehearsal. Saturday, rehearsal. Sunday, church starts at 10. I'm in church for 7 to clean. These are our stories, though. I clean, I run back home, go and dress up, finish in 10, 15 minutes, back to church. Let me add you another one. Class rep for the biggest, highest number of students. Electrical electronics were 64. That was my matric number. Were 64. I was the head of 64 people. You can go and ask my colleagues. A lot of them in our departments, they were to their course rep's face. You will be telling them which church was our rep. I was course rep, finished with the first class, committed to church. This is almost 8 years after school. I'm still here doing the will of the Father. What excuse do you have? You know, Pastor, you know, my father sent me to school to face my book. The book you still face. He's not his brother. I don't mean that. I don't have that book. The book you still face. Well, how did we get to this lackadaisical Christian approach to life? How did we get here? I was talking about the NYC place I served. So they picked us, 15 of us. They drained me. Interesting thing, that was the time my dad was in the hospital. My dad was preaching in church. For some of you that don't know, he was preaching in church and slumped right in my front. That's when I ran for my seat to go and help him. That was the last word I heard in his life. In the church, I'm still preaching the gospel today. You think we don't have stories? We ask cars though. I was telling you on Wednesday, I came to this country, I didn't have a job. My mind was on the fact that the gospel must prevail. I walked around the city, I did almost 20,000 steps looking for venue until I found this place. I was walking, I didn't have a job. When I got to meet the manager of this place and we got the exchange contract, I didn't know how we would get it. But guess what? I said, no, it's God's will first. I went to this church, I started preaching. We found a venue. At the time I decided to sign the contract of this place, I didn't have a job. A week or 2 weeks after I got a job, I told my wife, she's here. I said, for the first 1 to 2 years, we're not going to collect one penny from any soul. We did it till this year, 18 months. Both of us committed to the thousands of pounds we've paid here. Not because we didn't have other things to do with money. I could have taken her for a holiday. If I put what we are putting in this place now, I'll take her to 5 different countries within a year on a good holiday. What are you sacrificing for the things of God? We got to Solina. That's the name of the company. Eventually, I mentioned it. Do you know, my dad was in the hospital. They would drain me. I would go back to the hospital. I would go back there and I would stay with him. He would not say a word. I would pray with him. When I get back home, I'll go and lie down. Stand up 10, 15 minutes after, I study again. He slumped day one, day two. I started pastoring till today. I could have said, where is God? God, where is your face? And I continue pastoring till today, and I'm still here. And I trust I'm going to be here for decades ahead.
Amen.
You know what happened? The day my dad passed, we had a workshop at office that started at 7 a.m. We didn't finish till 9. I drove all the way from the office, and I was so tired. I said, I didn't want to go to the hospital. And I drove past, and I did a U-turn, and I came back to the hospital, and I went to see my father. And I took my father's hand and laid it on my head. He was saying something I knew he could not talk, because he didn't say a word for 3 months on the hospital bed, over 3 months, or thereabout, 3 months thereabout. And I got back home. I didn't get back home to sleep. It was a Friday evening. I got back home, went back to my study table, I sat down there, and I was preparing for Sunday service. And I got a call from the hospital that he's passed. My mom came to tell me. I went back to the hospital. It was over. But I continued. You know, when I went back to work, now, a month after my dad passed, the special meeting I traveled to Nigeria for, I went for that meeting in Lagos. I left Abuja, I left work on Thursday afternoon. Went to attend the first meeting in Lagos. Meeting one, Thursday evening. I attended Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Saturday, last flight, because the place was outside Lagos, I drove back to Lagos Airport. My flight was cancelled. I joined online, I stayed in Lagos Airport. Right on Sunday morning, I booked the next flight. The first flight I booked money on 2018. I went to Abuja. Straight from the airport, I went straight into the church. I preached that Sunday. My dad had just passed, and I preached that Sunday. And straight from the altar, greeted people in the church. I went back straight to the airport, and I flew back. The meeting was going to end on Monday. I could have said I would join the remaining online. No, I went back to that meeting. So I attend the Sunday evening session and the Monday morning session. I booked the flight back to Abuja. When I was waiting for my flight, that period of waiting for my flight in Lagos, I didn't even know Lagos Airport. Those people that were looking for money went to come and said, let them check my blood pressure. I said, blood pressure is not a thing for me. They checked my blood pressure. My blood pressure was really almost 180 something. 180. 180 over, maybe 100 and something. I could not tell my mom. I just started speaking God's word. I'm going to stay in health. This is me who just lost my dad from a heart-related issue, blood-related issue. And I stayed there. I said, no, I'm going to live in health. And nothing would distract me. I could have toned down my pressure. I continued working in that place. Do you understand? Do you know that when I told the CEO of the company, that please, can I take 1 week off? He said, no. I said, can I take 1 week off? He said, why? So because I look like nothing is wrong with me. I said, sir, My blood pressure is really 180, and they said I need to rest. He said it's not possible. That's where five started. He said it's not possible that you are too, how old are you? You are too young to have 100. Me and my blood pressure. What about that machine? Blood pressure machine. Me, my blood pressure, I bought battery. My battery. The thing pain me. I was like, ah. You say I don't want, you say my blood pressure. Yeah, him. That was April, that was May. May, June, I told them 1 month, 1 month after, I was not able to continue, unfortunately. I dropped my examination. You know, there's something they used to give you to sign off per month. That letter. They didn't give me, say I didn't work in lieu. They frustrated me. I went back home. Am I not here today? I'm saying somebody say my BP is more high. Because it has a medical, because it's a health related company. He said my BP is not high, those kind of things are here. You see, regardless of all those things, I stay assured the work of ministry continued. The work of ministry continued. During those period of time, even when I finished my master, I went back to Nigeria. I'll be at work. Where I worked, you don't want to know where I worked. I was everything. I was everything, just leave it there. A bit of strength from there, definitely. I will resume work at 8 o'clock, leave my house at 7:30 in the morning. I'll work from 8 o'clock. Busy. Where I was working is not where you just sit down and be looking at the trees. You know, some of people, when you walk, you just go, oh, that bird, see how it perched on that tree. You don't have work. Me, I was busy the last moment. I'll close at 6 o'clock. I know it's this kind of place that if your boss has not gone home, you dare not. They've not given birth to you. Where? And I'll close at 6. We'll have church meeting, believers meeting at 7. From 6, I'll go straight to my office, straight to church. I drive in like, because there's always traffic, because people are in rush hour time. I'll drive straight to church. I'll get to church. I take up the mic by 7. I preach from 7. I teach gospel from 7 to 1 a.m. Standing. We all pray together from 1 till 4 or till 5. Standing. Believers meeting, we do 5 to 6 or 7. Standing. I'll lay hands on everybody. So I'll do like an average of 12 plus hours at a stretch. And I was at work for 12 hours in the morning. You know, I could have said, you know, let's take these things easy. I always tell you, you've not done anything, you're resting. Imagine your father has a farm. Your father has a farm. Your father wakes up every morning and he's digging hole, he's planting seed. You are just there, you are just picking weed. Or let them, weed is even a work, they're just spraying water. When it's time for both of you to sleep, you are sleeping 10 hours. He's sleeping 5 hours. So yeah, your body needs to rest. See, the strength you have right now is not a cause. You will not have it for the rest of your life. Go and ask people who are older than you. The strength you have now, you will not have it for the rest of your life. Make the best use of it to serve Jesus. I'm not giving you theory. What I'm teaching you, I'm not telling you what I read in books. That's why no matter how much you want to try and twist me, you can't twist me because I'm experiencing things. I've experienced things. If I'm going to tell you the things I've experienced, the things I've gone through in these very few days, you know you don't have an excuse. Philippians 1, please. It says that with one mind travel together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation. It says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for what? So is there another verse that says you have to suffer for Jesus?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
You have to suffer for his sake. It says, having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me. Now look at verse 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if there any powers and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be what? Are we here? That ye be what? I'm in Philippians 2:2. Are we here? That ye be what? Like-minded, having the same what? Love. Being of one what? Accord. Being of what? One mind. Can we be of one accord in this local church?
Yes.
Can we be of one love? Can we be of one mind?
Yes.
What does that really mean? It means that, see, you will ask yourself a question. If everybody in this church behaved like me, would there be a church? If everybody acted the way I act, would there be a church? Well, I know. If everybody acted the way I acted, we have a solid local church. Can you say that about yourself? Are you talking about yourself? What are you sacrificing for the cause of the gospel? What are you sacrificing for the sake of the gospel? What? What are you doing? What can you point to and say, Kai, this is something that I know I should have been doing? Or this is something I can stay away from so I can do this? But look at what it says in verse 3. Last 4, rather. No, verse 3, sorry. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem what? Other better than themselves. Look at verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also what? On the things of others. Let's read verse 5 together. 1, 2, 3, go! Let everybody together, verse 5. 1, 2, 3, go! Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Let's read verse 8 together. 1, 2, 3, go! Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even so. Did Jesus humble himself? Did Jesus humble himself? Did Jesus humble himself? You know, there's a difference between you humble yourself and life humble you. Is there a difference? Sister Tandy, is there a difference? You're sure? Yeah, when you are humble, you know, there's a difference between when you are humble. That's when you humble. Yeah. When you don't have anything. Morning, brother. Morning, sister. How are you today? When you just start having something, say, you, I have three of you at home. I have three of you at home. Even my younger niece. That's when you start breaking extended family. My younger niece is older than you. If I put two of you on this, you see, that's, you know, there's a difference between you are walking to church from your house because there's no transport, and you are walking to church from your house and there's transport, but you choose to walk so that you can miss the bus, or so you cannot miss the bus. Some of you know when the buses come, right? And even with that, you still plan your life with the time of the bus that you know will bring you late. You know, there's a bus at 9:20. There's a bus at what? 10:01. That's the one that suits you most. So, Jesus humbled himself. Who is Jesus? Is that God in the flesh? Do you know what that means? Jesus, you know, that means Jesus did not become humbled by men. He's a real power. You know, and that's why in life, you need to just remain humble. I know some people, I say sometimes, people say, somebody who, if your spaghetti is done today, it might get burnt tomorrow. If your pasta is not done today, it might be done. So that's good to encourage yourself by saying, if today is not bright, tomorrow will be brighter. It's not always the case, though. I hope you know. It's not always the case. But what I'm saying to you, regardless of what the case is, you can have a sense of commitment to Jesus and his work. Are we together? You must have a sense of commitment. Are we together? We must have a sense of commitment. So look at verse 1 again. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. So, is it possible for a local church not to have people who are like-minded? Yeah. Yes, now. You know, in local church, some people can be cranky. You know the word cranky? Some people easy to know that they scolded them at work on Sunday. Because that scolding, they carry it with a passion. Some people know how to carry. You know, some people, there's some auras you wear. Some people wear aura of anger beautifully. Some is hunger. Like some people, just look at their face now. There's someone like that, not you. Right? Once you look at the person's face, just say, you're hungry. No, pastor, it's not like that. I'm not really that hungry like that, though. Until you take them to the table and say, they will devour the whole meal. Says, be of one mind. Look at verse 5 now. Says, let this mind be in you. You see, that phrase means to set your mind on something. Let this mind be in you is a phrase that means to set your mind on something. It's an action that you take. You do intentionally set your affection on something. This is a different conversation from I have the mind of Christ. Our mind of Christ is different. This one is you that will do the work. Let this mind be in you means you set your mind on something. You set your affections on something. It is about your attitude, your disposition. What did he say the mind was in? Which was also where? In Christ Jesus. He now tells you what it means. So, for a believer, it is a choice that you make. It is a choice that you make. It is an action that you take. So, the word of God, when we listen to the word like this, it should change our priorities. It changes our ideology. Yeah? The word of God does not celebrate us. If it celebrates us at all, it celebrates us in Christ. Christ is the focus. Christ is the main meal, the main deal. The main meal, the main deal. Hallelujah. Look at verse 6. It says, being in the form of God. Right? Being in the form of God. That means, was Jesus human? Was Jesus human?
Yes.
Was Jesus God?
Yes.
So was Jesus 100% man?
Yes.
100% supernatural, spiritual?
Yes.
Did you get that? Yet, he didn't lean to his supernatural, spiritual aspect or angle. He leaned more to his humanity to show you that it is possible for humans. Did Jesus pray?
Yes.
Did he get tired?
Yes.
Did he cry?
Yes.
As a human. Can a Christian cry?
Yes.
Yes, now. But you know what? There's something called crying. I'm moving on from crying. You don't cry and be crying, 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 and stay crying. No. Some of us, we just like to be pitied. Why are you crying? I don't like to hear the pastor say that thing that time, no. Talking to me directly. I remember somebody accused my father here a few years ago, and from that day, I knew that in ministry, just do the pastoring you are pastoring. He said, pastor is using me to preach. My father just gave a simple, beautiful answer. I love him. He said, am I supposed to use truth to preach? We have a man being sitting down. Yeah? You know, if you do bad, and I know, I can use you and preach. Am I not need to say, sister, when I'm talking to, my father just replied, is it three? I'm supposed to use and preach. Do you understand? It's a different thing when you're trying to mock someone and trying to, you know. But let me ask you a question. If I'm this against, let me see, answer this question sincerely. Can I teach about lateness or against lateness without mentioning some things some of you are doing? Is it possible?
Yes, sir.
How can I correct lateness? So imagine me, I say, some of you are coming late, you are doing like this. If you're like this, you are doing like this, what do? You do like this. Do like this. So because you are coming late, I don't not use you as an example. I should not be beating around the bush. My dear brother, my dear sister, you are coming late. You are not committed. You don't join me doing something, you don't join it. If we're not doing it, if it was said, it will not hurt you. How come in our world people pick the corrections and throw it in the bin? Or in the name of, I don't think I like the way you corrected me. As who now? No, as who now? Do you get the point? As who? You know, see, the truth remains that there's a biblical way correction should be done. But you see, in the biblical way, how do you expect the man who they say was sleeping with his father's wife? They wrote a letter. What year are we in 2024? We are reading it. That man's identity is scarred. If you don't want your name to be in that light, what do you not do? Be simple now. If you want pastor to say you are not committed, what do you do? You stay what? Committed. Your life is not hard. But they are telling you are not committed. They are telling you every week, every Sunday. You are still not committed. Pastor now wakes up one day and says, you should be doing better than this. I have your type at home. Pastor, stay where you are. I have your type at home. Is it because of spiritual things? Spiritual meats? Pastor, just stay there. I don't like what I don't like. But people have done this to me. Hey. So people now correct them, I have to stay behind. Because they can't, the way they are reaching close to me, you can't. I connected somebody in church in Nigeria a few years ago. I stepped back home. Because it was raging. A week after or two after I left the church, it was raging. Funny thing is, Benny was raging. I still wish him a happy birthday. You want to know where I posted? The pastor was correct. His heart is beating. Overweight. Imagine Sister Steph is the highest giver. And she start coming to church late. Sister Steph, you see, when time you just come as your will. You know, God sees your intention. There's a place, that's what you see, we taught him, there's a place you give your pastor. You are instructed to give your pastor. But your pastor also should lead an example. The day I don't have her. She knows her. I always tell her, what we don't have today, the way I put the energy inside life, I know we might have it tomorrow. We might have it tomorrow. That's why as leader, some of you will become leaders very soon. But your goal in local church is not with an aim of becoming a leader someday. You might never become a leader. But you see, there's a way you can have a life outside. So you can have a life outside. You see, the local church is the balancing ground. But you see, there's a way you cannot be trained on your terms. How many of you, do you know what it means to train in a barracks? How many of you get enrolled in a barracks and you're going to say, see, where I come from, we don't do frog jump. Eh? You are going to a barracks school. This is where I come from. They treat me, I'm the apple of God's eye. Where I come from, they don't ask me to do frog jump. So no matter what you do, don't do frog jump. What am I saying to you? See, as long as I know, the corrections I give you are from the word. I don't beat my eye. I don't beat my eye. I know, by God's grace, I won't go extreme. I don't beat my eye. Nothing. I can always tell you, who you cannot listen to, you cannot follow. When you go to a new church, just look at the man. Rate me, I don't mind. Look at me up to down. If this one correct, what will I say? This one. The moment you cannot take correction from the mouth of one who God has placed over your life, the best thing for you to do is to what? Go look for somebody who you can take correction. Because that you will not be corrected. No. No. There will be days you will fall short and you consistently fall short. You need that oversight in your life to call you out. You see, I'm talking this way. You need it. It's not every day. Glory! Yes, when we finish, we'll still glory. But you don't expect me to be giving you glory every day. You need tight corrections. You need stern rebukes. Is God you? And when you are being rebuked, don't think they are attacking your personality. No, they are attacking that thing that should not be found in you. That's the truth. And for some of the leaders, we have a meeting and an average of 2-3 meetings every month. So I realized consistently, I realized some of them will come late for the meeting. We come late for our meetings. And in this life, you can always give an excuse for anything. But they're already giving them prayer. So your reward for coming late. So for instance, if you miss like an hour, or if you don't do your assignments, the assignment I give them every month. You are praying for 4 hours and you'll be on the call, we'll be with you 4 hours. When some of them did 4 hours, like once or twice, their body readjusted. The moment I just jump on the call and say, hello, Pastor! I say, hey, you need someone to push you that way. Else you will just be like a Jessica. You'll just be going at your. You can't serve that. That's why God has put another in the local church. You need a man over your life. I need a man over my life. Else, I will just take life easily. God is just so. Let me say something about our sister Ajayi Brapo. She's more. You know, anytime I look at her, it encourages me. You can tell that she's not somebody who just went through or is going through her life carelessly. She will listen. She will not. She will listen. She will follow. She will listen. She will follow. She will come early. She will come around. She will sit down. She will listen. That's an example of who you should be. You are still a teenager. Even your mate that were teenagers, they change the world around. You are still saying, Pastor, now I'm still a teenager. Oh, how beautiful it is that at our age, when I get to our age, I'm still this committed to God's word. I'm still this humble and simple. you achieve one small thing, your life changes. You can't talk to me anyhow. I don't. That you can't talk to me anyhow, you know, it's pride. It's ego. And they talk to you anyhow at work. But spiritual oath coming over you. See, that line, don't cross it. I go on my own, you go on your own. Jesus is glorified. No, you need a stern rebuke sometimes. Yeah? Jesus, Paul, John will write in Revelation 3. He says, I need that home, not no cold. I will spew you out of my mouth. Who corrects? The Bible, if we will stick with the Bible correction, some of us are still bringing it down. We are upset. If we go as far as what Jesus said, you know that we will not have local churches today. What does it cost you? It's a Sunday service. Come around, come early. When we are praying, close your eyes and pray. When we are singing, lift your hands and sing. If you are not lifting your hands, you know today, for example, when I spoke about lifting your hands, you know some people knew that they were culprits. You know yourselves now. Or you don't know yourselves. Okay. What do you do with corrections like that? Oh, Pastor has taught us of the word. When we come together, our mind should be one. Our heart should be one. Be humble. Be humble. Life can humble people. Are we here? Let it not be when life humbles you, or if life humbles you, you now become committed to Jesus. Let it be that with whatever you have, everything you have, you still remain on course, focused with Jesus. So Jesus, who was 100% God, he was 100% man. That's divinity and humanity meeting as one. Yet, he shows us an example to follow. We don't see an example of Jesus when he was reviled. Do you know how the scripture, when the Bible says that he went to his city, they rejected him? What happened? Do you know what it is for a man to be rejected? Then the disciples are so upset to say, let's call down fire to destroy these people. The Bible says, when he was reviled, he reviled not. Yeah? When he was reviled, he reviled not. We had an example recently of someone who I corrected. And the person will come to church and the person will not be praying. And in my head, it now made me feel like, was this person praying because of me? Like, you come to church, you are not praying, you are not singing, to upset me. Me, I'll just keep pacing here. I'll see, but I'll keep pacing. I keep my focus. But is it not sad? You stop, Brajo, imagine you stop praying because I corrected you. And it's not enough to nod your head in church and say, oh, what such a pity. Some of us, you don't know what you do when you get there. That's why I'm telling you ahead. Because it can be painful. Ah, no. You can't talk to me anyhow. I don't take nonsense. I don't realize people take nonsense from every other person except God. Except in the local church. You have a choir leader, for instance, you have an usher leader. Your usher leader tells you, oh, when you were singing, you made this statement. You know, and that's why there needs to be order in the local church. I asked someone to be prayer, somebody who did not even count as anything to even be leader. Started calling the person I asked to be prayer. I say, you see, since anytime we lead prayer, try to explain the word to us. And start to practice, you know, you just used to read the verse and just pray over it. That's why you must know your boundaries. Because if you don't call people, you ask them to come and lead prayer. They ask you to come and sing. Talk with me to 2 Corinthians. Before you get to finish and go to Colossians, that's pride. You want everybody to know you too, you are growing. One man, one woman. You say, come and lead prayer. You just say, and I see someone with a limb at the back. These are eyes I've seen, man. Our eyes have seen, our mouth will say it. There is order. If your leader corrects you, if your leader speaks to you and says, sister, I notice you don't join our prayer. What is it? I notice that you don't come around for prayer. What do you do? But Pastor, you're supposed to understand that people are busy now. Please don't get everything. So people are even so good to justify themselves and say, because you are not in my shoes. See, I don't need to be in your shoes to tell you to be committed to Jesus. Yeah. Even you are not in my shoes. We are not in our shoes. Is that not true? But we can stay committed. We can know. Say, I will stay committed. You don't serve Jesus on your terms. You don't serve Jesus on your terms. No. No, Pastor, this is your service at 10 o'clock. Can you just make it 11:30? 11:30, Pastor, by 11:30, the sun is already out. I would have done a lot of, you know, Pastor. Some of you now have been shouting about Rekindle for how many weeks? Rekindle will still come. You will still take shifts. You will still take shifts. You will be there. I say you join us online. You see, take that. You have already programmed, you've already multiplied the amount that you will get for what you buy. You see, take that shift. I hope you know. You see, life is funny and life is in faces. Right? Some of us, we can kill and put our head on the line for our work. We can't do it for the gospel. It's simple now. Some of you will feel very tired. You will force yourself to work. They ask, how are you doing? You go, you fight. Everybody's fine. But your body is not stable. And you'll be there from 9 o'clock to 6 p.m. One is Sunday morning for 3 hours. Pastor, let's just make these things online. We just stream online. The online version, it will bless our hearts more today. Let nothing take your focus from Jesus. Let me tell you something. I hope you know that there's none of you serving me. I hope you know that. There is none of you here serving me. All of you, including me, we are serving God. I'm just a privileged one to just coordinate us. Yes, I will see your attitude. I will see your conduct. I will see your slant. That God has given me that oversight to be able to align and rectify and correct. We are not serving you. I'm just a privileged vessel. That's why there's something I always say to myself, that I always remain small in my eyes. That I'm always small in my eyes. That I'm always small in my eyes. No matter what, I'm always small. That should be your slant every day. Be small in your eyes. Don't grow bigger than yourself. How many of you know Felele? That one, Felele, that football, that if you kick it like this, the way it recover and go back. You see, they say it's empty barrels that make what? Be too loud. It means don't be empty. be full of the riches of God's word. Listen to God's word. Get corrected. Get scolded. Get edified. We won't correct you every Sunday service. We will admonish you. We've not believers' authority. We've taught you how to go to the streets. We've done local church. You will permit me for this one. You will permit this one. It's all part of God's word. You know, if I read a philosopher's book, is different. I'm reading you God's word. You just have to align yourself. All together. I'm going to pay attention to Philippians 5 again. On Wednesday. The Bible says, let this mind be in you. He made himself of no reputation. There's questions I wrote here and I just wanted to jump to it. The question says, can you be like Jesus to serve God? Can you be like Jesus to serve God? Can you be like Jesus to serve God? Can you be like God to serve God? That's what I'm essentially saying. Can you serve God the way God served? Can you? Bible says he humbled himself. He brought himself down. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. That means you never allow your position to get into your head. Amen? You never allow your age get into your head. Never allow your political status get into your head. Never allow your social status get into your head. Never allow your marital status get into your head. When it comes to serving Jesus, leave everything aside. And follow him with all you have and all that you are. Follow him with everything you have. Follow him with everything that you have. Bible says, the child the father loves, he chastises. Are we together? How does God chastise us? He brings us, corrects us from the word. That's why we say the word is for what? It's for training, for instruction, for correction in righteousness. that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There's something God is expecting from your life. There's got something God is expecting from your life. Don't allow your condition change your commitment to Jesus. Some of you, I don't expect that you still be at your jobs this time 10 years from now, this time 20 years from now. I don't expect that you still be at your position 10 years from now, even 1 month from now, even 1 year from now. I expect that you all will grow in your career, grow in your life, grow in your family. From a family that had no child, family now becomes one. A family that had no child now becomes two. Family that had no child now has twins. It is not when twins come, you now know that you don't know how to serve Jesus. No. 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 Let it be that no matter what, your consecration remains the same. Your consecration remains the same. You become a CEO, you remain consistent. You become a boss of yourself, self-employed, you remain consistent. You have a wife, you remain consistent. You have children, you remain consistent. You have to intentionally, deliberately make up your mind to remain consistent to Jesus. Let me say one more thing. Nobody else will do it for you. Nobody else will do it for you. Nobody else will do it for me. We have to do it ourselves. Regardless of what comes our way, we stay committed to Jesus. No, forget it. The devil will come in diverse ways to give you legitimate reasons and excuses. Like we saw in scriptures, let me go bury my father. That sounds quite legitimate, I believe, if you ask me. But Jesus says what? No, let the dead bury the dead. You go preach the kingdom. You go preach the gospel. You go for meetings. You go for prayer meetings. You go for evangelism meetings. You go for outreaches. You be in church. You be in church.
Thank you.
All together. Well, so look at